But rejoice in the Lord. He makes a mistake. He knows with the end of each path that I take. For when I am tried and glorified, I shall come forth as gold.
God never moves without purpose or plan. When trying his servant and molding a man, give thanks to the Lord, though your testing seems long. In darkness he giveth a song.
Oh, rejoice.
From above, God strengthens his children and purges in love. My Father knows best, and I trust in his care. Through purging, more fruit I will bear.
Job, young ladies. I think we ought to give all our children another hand for all the hard work they did today. They've worked hard, the young men preparing to be ushers, and they got to be a lot of them first-time ushers this morning. We had new ladies in the back, some of our young ladies doing that. It's exciting seeing young people want to serve God, and the work you guys put into it. They've worked months, a lot of them learning the songs, practicing, and those that work with them. Good job, everyone. I know the Lord's pleased with you, and you did it for the Lord. Now it's time we're going to get into the Word of God. So as always, as I mentioned, I get to teach this group of young people over here often. At once a month we rotate, so once a month I get to teach them. So I know how well behaved they can be. And many times they're up there, and those that work with them, you think, you know, you get a group of 30, 40 young people together, it's got to be crazy. No, when you get, you know, sometimes you have fun singing the songs, but often I find when I get into the Word of God, they'll sit up straight, and they'll listen, they're attentive, and you start asking questions, they listen to what you say because they can answer the questions. These young people do a great job, and I know they'll do the same today. As I preach today, it's a little different sitting out here and all the adults, but I know you'll see what we see every week as these young people behave themselves and listen up, and hopefully they'll see some adults that behave themselves and listen up also. Amen. We want to show a good example of what we could do for the Lord. Amen. We read in your hearing, Brother Corey has read for us, 2 Kings chapter 18, verses 1 through 3, and I've titled this A Tale of Two Kings, and if you want to talk about great kings, and that's what we're going to talk about this morning, and I'll ask these young people, those that come to church often, if we say, who was the greatest king of Israel? I think all of us would pretty much agree. Any young people know the answer to that? Who was the greatest king of Israel? Amen. Well, that was my answer, but amen. That's a good, the best answer. God, yes, he is the king. But as far as the earthly king, who was the greatest earthly king? Adam, you know? David. Amen. I think all of us would agree, right? Who was thinking David? Anyone thinking David? Now, if I asked who was the second greatest, I think that answer would vary. Because there's other good kings. But if you say who was the second greatest king, I think that would vary. But I'm going to talk about a king today, and you probably already guessed who it was from the scripture reading. A king that was a great king, a good king, a king that loved the Lord, served God, and we're going to talk about him today. His name was Hezekiah. Hezekiah. Now you think of the great kings. Some of you may think, I think Josiah might have been second greatest king. Josiah was a great king. And one thing about Josiah, young people, listen up. One thing about Josiah, you know how old Josiah was when he became king? You know, Branson? 8 years old. How many of you are 8 years old? He was your age, and he became king. Not just a prince, not just someone that was a helper. He became king, the king, at 8 years old. And he was one of the greatest kings of Israel. If you read what he did right in the sight of the Lord. He started getting rid of things that was wrong, things that they shouldn't have had. He did some great things as king. Now, he didn't do all of them at 8 years old, but at 8 years old, he became king. And he decided, to do right. To do right. He set in his heart to do right. No one could tell him what to do then other than God. And at 8 years old, he was king. He made all decisions, but yet he decided, I'm going to do right and I'm going to serve God. You don't have to wait till you're older to say, you know what, when I get an adult, then I'll serve God. No, 8-year-olds can serve God. Amen. 6-year-olds can serve God. 7-year-olds can serve God. So many of you might have been thinking Josiah was a great king. Some of you might have been thinking Solomon was a great king. But I want to bring our attention to Hezekiah this morning, as we find here in 2 Kings chapter 8. So we'll look here at a couple things about Hezekiah. Verse number 3, you see that he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that David his father did. Many times you see when you read through the kings and the chronicles as it talks about the kings, when you read through them and you see that this king did right, they were always compared to someone else. David. They were always compared to David. They did right like David his father because they were in the line of David. David was chosen of God. He was anointed to be king, but everyone after that was king was of his seed. They were a child of David. They was as David his father. So they became king, and they were all compared to him. You read many times where it doesn't say they did right. It said they did evil. But when they did right, they were always compared to David. So you see him that he was compared to David. In verse number 5, the Bible says he trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. So I think here you can see that he was a great king. God says that he trusted in the Lord. There was none like him after him. There was none like him before him. He was different. He was unique. But he was a good king that followed God. And that's what I say good. I'm not saying good as they brought the economy, settled the economy, brought taxes down. I'm not talking about all those things. I'm talking about someone that followed God. You want a good leader in this country, we want to pray for someone that follows God. They follow God, then they're going to do some good things. But that's what we pray for. When I pray, and when our election time's coming up, I know young people, you're not going to go vote, but one day when you do, I want all of us, when election time comes, you pray that God puts people in that will follow him. We will need leaders that follow God. We need leaders that follow God. And so this is what this king was. He followed and trusted in God. Verse number 6, he clave to the Lord, and departed not from following him, but kept his commandments, which the Lord commanded Moses. So no doubt, as by reading this, whether he was one at the top of your list of great kings, no doubt by reading this, you could see that he loved the Lord, he did right. It wasn't perfect, he was a man, but neither was David. When they're compared to David, was David perfect? No, he wasn't perfect. So we're not saying that Hezekiah was a perfect king, we're not saying that David was a perfect king, but we see that he did right. Now, when I study these men, Hezekiah, and I study the other king that we're going to talk about is David. When I study these men, I see there were one difference between these two men. One major difference. There were a lot of differences. As God said, there was none like Hezekiah before or after. That's including David. But so there were many differences. But one major difference I see in these men that I want to discuss. And we're going to look at David's life and then come back to Hezekiah. And then we'll talk about this difference. And then we'll apply it to our lives today. And it has to do with the next generation. The next generation. You know, a lot of people are satisfied with being a great Christian. But what about passing it on? What about passing on? What are we doing for the next generation? That's what we want to talk about today. And that's what I think the major difference between these two men were. These two great kings that you can't knock and doubt. When we look at their lives, you cannot doubt that these were men that loved the Lord. They did right. They followed God. But I see one major difference. If you turn with me to 1 Chronicles. So you just turn towards the back a couple pages, towards the back of your Bible, you'll come to 1 Chronicles, just a few pages back. If you come to verse or chapter number 28, David had done many things through his life, had been a great king, done many things through his life, and there was one thing he aspired to do, and that was to build the temple. He wanted to build a temple. He wanted to build a temple for his God, but God didn't allow him to do it. God didn't allow him to do it. So when we get here to 1 Chronicles chapter 28, we're towards the end of David's life. And David is saying, this is something I always wanted to do. I wanted to get it accomplished, but God said it wasn't going to be me. It was going to be the one that followed after me that was going to get to do this. Chapter 28, verse number 2, says, David the king stood up upon his feet and said, hear me, my brethren and my people. As for me, I had in my heart to build in the house of rest for the ark of the covenant of the Lord and for the footstool of our God, and had made ready for the building. But God said to me, thou shalt not build an house for my name, because thou hast been a man of war and hast shed blood. So God told David, you can't do it. It's not going to be you. It's not going to be you. You can't do it. But did David just say, okay, I give up. God's not going to let me do it, so I'm done with that. And in our minds, we would say, okay, that's probably going to be us. I want to do something for God. God says, you can't do it. Okay, I'll go do something else. But David didn't stop there. David didn't stop there. As he mentioned right there in verse 2, he says, you know, I wanted to do this and had made ready for the building. So he has been working and working to get this done. And God says, no, you can't do it. And in verse number 6, he said unto me, Solomon, thy son, he shall build my house and my courts. For I have chosen him to be my son, and I will be his father. So God told David, it's going to be Solomon that's going to do it. Solomon's going to do it instead of you. And so in verse number 9, David charges Solomon, and thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart, and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts, and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. Take heed now, for the Lord hath chosen thee to build a house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. So he knows Solomon's going to do it. He instructs Solomon to do it. Verse 11, you see where he says, you know what? I've gave to this. I gave. I sacrificed. You can read through this, and I'm not going to take the time to read through all the verses, but you can see how if you keep reading on that chapter, he says, I gave this, and I gave that, and I gave this, and I gave that, and we provided this. This is something that's not going to be for me. I'm not going to see it, is what David said. I'm not going to see it. God's not letting me do it. But yet, I'm going to work and provide. Why? Because it's for the next generation. It's for the next people to follow. Sometimes in our lives, you know, you may prepare and God says, you know what? I'm not going to let you do that. And so do we just stop? Do we give up? Do we say, okay, then I'll sit here and do nothing? David was at the end of his life and he could have said, you know what? Then I'll just ease on out the rest of my life. God's not letting me do this. This is what I want to do. God told me no. So I'll stop. But he didn't. He says, he's not letting me do it, but person behind me. He's going to do it. So I'm going to help. I'm going to do my part. I'm going to provide this. I'm going to give the gold. I'm going to give the trees. I'm going to give all these things. I'm going to invest. And you look at this. If you read this, you'll see how David invested and invested and invested and invested in something he knew is not for him. Something he knew was not for him. He would never see it. He invested for the next generation. And then you see Solomon. When Solomon became king, if you go to, let's see, Second Chronicles, turn over a couple pages, Solomon is now king. David's provided, David's prepared the way for him, kind of, you know, making a path ready for him. Solomon, the son of David, in verse 1, was strengthened in the kingdom, and the Lord his God was with him and magnified him exceeding. Verse number 6. And Solomon went up thither to the brazen altar before the Lord, which was at the tabernacle of the congregation, and offered 1,000 burnt offerings upon it. I think, man, what in the world? That's incredible. You think of someone going making a sacrifice and they all offer, I mean, how many did normally offer? One. He went up to that altar and offered 1,000 burnt offerings upon it. And in the night, God appeared unto Solomon, verse 7, and said unto him, ask what I shall give thee. And Solomon said unto God, thou hast showed great mercy unto David my father, and hath made me to reign in his stead. Now, O Lord God, let thy promise unto David my father be established, for thou hast made me king over a people like the dust of the earth in multitude. Give me now wisdom and knowledge, that I may go out and come before this people, for who can judge this thy people that is so great? And God said to Solomon, because this was in thine heart, and thou hast not asked riches, wealth, or honor, nor thy life of thine enemies, neither yet hast asked long life, but hast asked wisdom and knowledge for thyself, that thou mayest judge my people of whom I have made thee king. He said, wisdom and knowledge, in verse 12, is granted unto thee. And I will give thee riches and wealth and honor such as none of the kings have had that have been before thee, neither shall there be any like after any after thee have the like. Solomon said, when it came down, he was king. He could have said, God, give me riches. God, give me this. God, give me that. He told Solomon, after he made the sacrifices, got 1,000 offerings to God. God says, what do you want, Solomon? What do you need from me? You know, I think it would get God's attention, making 1,000 offerings to God. He said, what do you want from me? And God said, Solomon said, God, this is a big task. Give me wisdom and knowledge. And God blessed him. God blessed him. And so I think Solomon started right. When I say a tale of two kings, we're actually going to talk about four. But I think Solomon started out right. I think Solomon had a desire to serve God like his father David. And if you read Solomon's life, you'll see towards the end of his life he was swayed and his wives turned him from God to serving idols and those things. But I think Solomon started right. He had the desires we see here at the beginning of his reign to serve God. He saw how his dad, his father David, served God and gave his heart and desire to serve God. And he says, God, you've given this to me now. You've given this responsibility to me now. I need wisdom. So we see what happened with Solomon, David's son. But let's go back and look at Hezekiah. If you turn back with me to 2 Kings chapter 20, we'll get towards the end of Hezekiah's life. And now Hezekiah, if you read chapter 18, chapter 19, chapter 20 of 2 Kings, you'll see Hezekiah was a man of God. Hezekiah got answers from God. When he prayed, God answered. There came a time when Hezekiah was told, Hezekiah, you're going to die. You're going to die. Hezekiah got on his knees and started praying. Before the man of God had gotten away from him, was walking away, God said, go back. I heard Hezekiah's prayer. I've seen his tears. Go back and tell him. I've heard him. I'm going to give him 15 years to live. Hezekiah was a man that could get a hold of God. Was a man that could get God answering. You read these stories of Hezekiah. Now he's at the end of his life. Hezekiah chapter 20, In verse number 12, at that time, this person, son of Baladan, king of Babylon, sent letters and a present unto Hezekiah, for he had heard that Hezekiah had been sick. And this is after God had healed him. Hezekiah hearkened unto them and showed them all the house of his precious things, the silver and the gold and the spices and precious ointment, all the house of his armor and all that was found in the treasures. There was nothing in the house nor in all his dominion that Hezekiah showed them not. Then came Isaiah the prophet unto King Hezekiah and said unto him, What said these men? And from whence came they unto thee? And Hezekiah said, They are come from the far country, even from Babylon. And he said, What have they seen in thine house? And Hezekiah answered, All the things that are in mine house have they seen. There is nothing among my treasures that I have not showed them. And Isaiah said unto Hezekiah, Hear the word of the Lord. Behold, now listen, the days come that all that is in thine house and that which thy fathers have laid up in store unto this day shall be carried away into Babylon. Nothing shall be left, saith the Lord. And of thy sons that shall issue from thee, which thou shalt beget, shall they take away. And they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. To me, if I heard that news, I think I would have hit my knees then and say, Oh God, please. As we've seen Hezekiah, we talked about Hezekiah has a ability to get answers from God, ability to get on his knees, and God says, I've heard him. I've heard Hezekiah. Go back and tell him. I'm not going to do it. I've heard his prayer. I'm going to answer his prayer. And here he tells Hezekiah, the day is going to come. They're taking everything. Everything your fathers have laid of a sword, everything that these men have seen is going to be taken to Babylon, including thy sons, including the next generation. They're going to be slaves. They're going to be eunuchs. They're going to serve Babylon. To me, that would be devastating news. Please no. Please no. Don't let that happen. But yet, verse 19, let's read what Hezekiah's response. Then said Hezekiah unto Isaiah, Good is the word of the Lord, which I have spoken. And he said, Listen to this. Is it not good if peace and truth be in my days? I've served God with my life. And God's blessing me. Isn't that good? Isn't that good enough that God's blessing me? I thought, what? When I read this, I'm just kind of astonished. What? You just got news that your sons are become slaves. And he said, but peace and truth will be in my day. So I look here in Hezekiah's life and I don't see an investment in the next generation. I don't see where he laid things in store and instructed his sons, you need to serve God. You need to follow God, son, as we've seen what David did to Solomon. As we read there, David told Solomon, don't turn from following God. Don't turn from following God. Hezekiah, I don't see where he invested in his sons. I don't see where he instructed it. And he looked at the next generation and says, you know what? You got to keep following God. All these blessings come from God. Everything we have, it come from God. Don't forget God. Follow God. Follow him. Well, what's the next result? Let's look at chapter 21, just a couple verses down. Chapter 21, Hezekiah has now passed away. Verse 21, his son, Manasseh, was 12 years old when he began to reign, and reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Hephzibah. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, after the abominations of the heathen whom the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. That which was evil in the sight of the Lord. I'm not going to read. If you just take the time to read, I mean, he just, one thing after another, I'm doing against what God said. I'm going to do this. My father did this, I'm doing the opposite. My father tore down the high places, I'm going to build them back up. He did opposite of what his dad did. And sadly, from reading this, the Bible doesn't clearly say, but from reading this, I would say that this man was not saved. One, arguably, to say his dad was one of the greatest kings of, not the greatest, and we all agree that that was David, but one of the greatest kings of Israel, but yet, I don't think his son was saved. I don't think this guy doesn't show any desire to serve God, doesn't show any love for the Lord, doesn't show any of that. Now I look out this generation. How do we apply this to today? I look out in our church today, and I see some great Christians. I see some people who love the Lord. I see some people who serve the Lord. As we talked about, all the people that work and serve in our children's ministry, they're serving our youth ministry, serving adult ministry, serving the ladies' ministry. I mean, there's ministries all over that many people are involved in. And we think, that's a good Christian. Our deacons, our pastors, our Sunday school teachers, great people that love the Lord. But if we fail to look at these young people and say, young people, you got to follow God. If we fail to look at our children and say, son, daughter, you got to follow God. You know how God's blessed me? Everything I got, God gave it to me. All the blessings, all the joy that we have in our life come from God. Every good gift and every perfect gift cometh from above. Amen. And if we don't take these young people and try to take them and bring them along and say, hey, you see this? You know who did that? God did that. Amen. He's worthy to serve him. He's worthy to live for. He's worthy to build this house, as David told Solomon, and he was telling his people. He says, the house of the Lord must be exceeding magnificent. He says, this God, our God, is worthy to serve. And he passed that on to his son, but we don't see where Hezekiah did. A great man, a great Christian, a man that can get on his knees and God answer his prayer. But what about his children? Man, you read what this man's done. He could be arguably, as some could say, Hezekiah could be arguably one of the greatest kings. This man could arguably be one of the worst kings. How does that happen? So we don't take the time to say to the next generation, hey, it's not all about me. It's about him. It's about our God and what a great God we got. And I'm going to invest my life, and I'm going to help you invest in your life so you can serve our God. People that donate time, and people that give a time of, as we mentioned, all these workers that work with the children. Why? Because they see these young people and say, hey, I want to invest in them. I want to give them a shot to be able to serve a great God that I'm serving. So they can grow up and they can be in church and they can be in the patch clubs and they can be in all these other children's ministries that instead of being out in the world, they can be in church and to learn to serve God and learn to love God and give their lives for God. I'm going to invest in them. What about you? Are you doing anything for the next generation? Or are you like this man that says, it's good as long as God blesses me. As long as God's pleased with my life, I'm okay with that. Good is the word of the Lord. Is it not good that peace and truth be in my day? And I hate to see it happens. Great Christians that serve God and give their life and follow God, but yet they don't pass it on. And you see and you think, what in the world happened there? You may look at their child or their son or daughter and say, hey, your mom and dad was a great Christian. What are you doing? What's wrong with you? Maybe it's because they didn't take the time to say, hey, come with me. Sit down. Let me talk to you. Let me teach you about what's really important in life. And that's our God. A great God that we got. A great God that we serve. Is your God great? Is your God wonderful? Why don't we pass that on to our children to teach them, hey, I'm not just happy with knowing that I serve a great God, but I want you to serve a great God. I think it was John that says that, you know, that nothing pleased me more than my children walk in truth. It's not about just me. What about your children? There's some people that say, you know what, God's not letting me do this. God's not letting me to be a deacon, or God's not chosen me to be a Sunday school teacher. Maybe something in my life I've done that disqualifies me from being in a great position, what we would consider a great position for God. I want to serve God. I want to do this. It's in my heart, but God's not letting me. So let me invest in my children so God can use them. Let me build them up. Let me invest in their lives so one day that God, they can be in a position where they don't disqualify their lives to serve God. They don't disqualify their lives to be a missionary or a pastor or a great lady of God, because I'm going to invest in their life. I'm going to provide whatever they need. I'm going to provide an environment at home that they can serve God. I'm going to bring them to church when the church doors are open so they can hear the Word of God talk to them. I'm going to invest in their lives. David said, you know, David's accomplished many great things. He says, this was in my heart. I want to do it. God said, no, you can't do it. So I'm going to invest and the ones that can. I'm going to invest in their lives. I want to pass it on to them. I want to pass it on to them. This was the one major difference I see. And again, you can bring up many more, but this is what God laid on my heart this morning. Investing in the next generation. Children's Emphasis Sunday. When we look at these young people and the potential, we don't know. Young people, listen up. I don't know what God's going to do with your life. But I know we serve a great God that can use each and every one of you in a great and mighty way. Amen. Greater than what you've seen before. You look at this church and the great people that you have in the church, and God can do greater things with you. You keep serving God. You keep coming to church. You keep following God. You find leaders and teachers that love the Lord, and you follow them and learn all you can from them. And you say, I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to serve God. And I say, teachers and parents and leaders, let's be good examples. Let's invest in our lives. Let's just walk by them when we see them in church and don't say anything. Let's let them know we love you. And we'll do anything we can to help you. Serve God with your life. We want to help you serve God with your life. It's not just about me. Yes, I want to serve God with my life, but I want my children to serve God with my life. I want my third grade Sunday school class to serve God with my life. I want these children that are in the primary church to serve God with their life. But it takes investment. It takes work. Sometimes that I'm not going to see, but so they can. So they can. I'm not going to see the tomorrow that they're going to face, but I can invest in it. I can invest in it so that tomorrow can be a tomorrow where they serve God. What about you? Are you happy with just my days? Peace and truth in my days? Or do you want to pass it on to the next generation? What are you doing? Teach our children to follow God. I'm going to read you a poem, and then I'm going to finish. I've heard this poem I don't know how many times in my life, and it's just something that stuck with me because it reminds me. It's not about us all the time. It's about God. For us to serve God and making a way for these young people to serve God. An old man going a lone highway came at the evening cold and gray to a chasm vast and deep and wide, through which was flowing a sullen tide. The old man crossed in the twilight dim. The sullen stream had no fear for him, but he turned when safe on the other side and built a bridge to span the tide. Old man, said a fellow pilgrim near, you're wasting your strength with building here. Your journey will end with the ending day. You never again will pass this way. You've crossed the chasm deep and wide. Why build you this bridge at the evening tide? The builder lifted his old gray head. Good friend, in the path I come, he said, there followeth after me today a youth whose feet must pass this way. This chasm that has been naught to me, to that fair-haired youth, may a pitfall be. He too must cross in the twilight dim. Good friend, I am building this bridge for him. What are you doing for the next generation? In your life, could you say, I've invested in my children, or I've invested in these young people here at church? Are you doing anything for the next generation? If not, I encourage you. It's not enough just to serve God, but to pass it on. Pass it on. Let's all stand. Pastor.
Let's bow our heads together. Thank you, Pastor BJ, for a very thought-provoking message from the Word of God. As our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, I'm going to ask the pianist to play softly. And I'm going to issue